Tapes from the Dark Side.
Tapes from the Dark Side.
Tapes from the Dark Side
is an awesome new true crime podcast.
What motive could a father have for hurting his own son? What dark secret is Mark Redwine hiding? In season one, the host TZ Borden investigates the curious case of a missing 13-year-old boy and the father suspected of murder. Please go search Tapes from the Dark Side on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tapes from the Dark Side.
You should give it a good listen.
This episode is brought to you by the Slash and Cast Podcast Network. Learn more at slashandcast.net.
Hello and welcome to Reverie True Crime. As always, I'm your host, Paige. This is part three about women in Nottingham, England, who were murdered by their partners prior to Clare's Law. In episode four, which will be the last episode in this series, I'll tell you all about Clare's Law, and I'll also be talking about Rosie Derbyshire and how Clare's Law was in place, but the police still let her down. Today's story is about Denise Skilbeck. Let's dive right in. 31-year-old Denise Skilbeck was from Oxfordshire, but in 2007 moved to Newark. She was described as such a fun person who was always laughing, gorgeous, loving, and compassionate. Denise was one of four daughters to parents Ingrid and John. Denise had a job as an occupation consultant for a recruitment agency. She specialized in assisting people who were on health-related financial assistance find jobs. Not only was she lending a helping hand to people through her job, but she was also of assistance to people outside of work, and was said to really love her community and adore everyone in it. She shared a home with her 34-year-old partner, Gary Spaulding, in the Wharf area of Newark. He was an alcoholic and abusive, but she loved him, she trusted him, and she cared about him so much, no matter what. One day in March of 2011, Gary assaulted Denise in her bedroom, but it didn't stop there. He began smashing her in the head with a hammer at least 16 times, which brought about multiple skull fractures. After all of this, Gary sliced her face and slashed her throat with a knife. After this monstrous, chaotic killing, Gary decided to take her cell phone, her money, and even called her workplace to tell them that she wouldn't be coming in that day. Gary even left a voice message for his dad, Ian Spaulding, saying, "I told my dad the other day I could kill somebody, and I have." Immediately after hearing this terrifying message, Ian called 999. When Gary was able to speak to his dad about murdering Denise, he said his reason for doing so was because she cheated on him and they had a heated argument. Apparently, he went ballistic, a killing out of pure rage, not just being able to talk about it or simply walking away. Denise's body was discovered on March 16, 2011 by police officers after they responded to the 999 call. The scene that the sergeant walked into was absolutely dreadful. He peeked his head into the bedroom to see Denise, lifeless, on the floor, right beside the bed. She was covered up with a duvet, as most killers do when they take the lives of someone they know, and they can't take looking at what they have done. There was also Denise's blood splatter on the wall. Gary was taken into custody right then. He was honest with police and told them that He had a problem when it came to alcohol, and days before he slaughtered Denise, he had been guzzling down around a liter a day. The cause of Denise's death was from the blunt force trauma to her head. The next month, the IPCC, the Independent Police Complaints Commission that I've mentioned in past episodes, made a statement saying they were investigating communications between the Nottinghamshire police and Denise way before she was discovered deceased. The Nottinghamshire police were in contact with Denise for at least 3 years prior due to, quote, a number of domestic incidents. Here again is another example of Nottinghamshire police failing domestic violence victims. This is also not just a Nottingham issue, but a global one as well. At first, Gary lied to the police, saying he didn't remember murdering anyone, that he could not recall what happened at all. Eventually, he did admit to killing Denise at a court hearing. There were psychiatrists that evaluated Gary, and they said he did not suffer with mental illness of any kind. The judge, John Milmo, QC, said, quote, "Despite admitting your guilt, you did nothing to help her and left her for dead or dying." At Nottingham Crown Court, September 2011, Gary was served a sentence of 23 years at the minimum. But since he confessed, he received 20 years at the minimum, and life being the maximum. Denise's parents wished his minimum sentence was much longer. John and Ingrid, Denise's parents, stated, quote, "Society needs to be protected from men like Gary Spaulding. We are thankful he will now be off the streets and no longer pose a threat to anyone else for a long time to come. But the reality is this monster will be younger than us when he's released with the rest of his life in front of him, something he took so savagely from Denise." Sourcing from oxfordmail.co.uk, in a joint statement, Denise's family said, quote, "Denise's death has left a gaping hole in our lives. She was so full of life and had so much more to give. Denise had recently received a commendation at work for helping 100 disadvantaged people back into employment. But she did so much more than that. She worked above and beyond the expectations of her job, not only helping people back into work, but helping them reintegrate into society. She was making such a difference. She was a very loving, very funny daughter, sister, and aunt. And she was incredibly community-spirited, helping people outside of work as well as in. Her loss is being felt not only at home, but among hundreds of people that she's touched during her short life." The IPCC told their findings from their investigation of the Nottinghamshire police's communications with Denise before her life was taken. This information is from wired-gov.net. The IPCC investigation found that police did follow relevant domestic violence procedures in handling incidents involving the couple dating back to May 2008. Sadly, the tragic outcome could not have been prevented or foreseen by police. The independent investigation examined police contact with the couple on 9 occasions from 2008. The last incident took place on 13th of March 2011, 3 days before Denise was murdered. IPCC Commissioner Amardeep Samal said, quote, "This was a desperately sad case, and my thoughts again go out to the family of Denise, whose life was brutally taken by a man she was in a personal relationship with and trusted. Our investigation has shown that police officers attended any calls for assistance from Denise promptly, carried out appropriate risk assessments, and took what steps they reasonably could to help her. Police were right to arrest Gary Spaulding for reported assaults on a number of occasions prior to the murder, but he was never prosecuted due to a lack of sufficient independent evidence. Denise was reluctant to fully engage with the police. There is no evidence that, based on the circumstances and information available to them, police could have realistically done any more to prevent or foresee the tragic outcome. I have had past occasion to be critical of Nottinghamshire Police in the handling of domestic violence, and I am pleased that, partly as a result of IPCC recommendations, the force has taken steps to improve its performance. I would urge anyone suffering in an abusive relationship to have the courage to contact the police. In relation to one specific incident, a police officer failed to submit a domestic violence risk form as required by force policy. He has received management action from a senior officer at Nottinghamshire Police. The IPCC's investigation report has been shared with the force and Denise Skilbeck's family. So here are the police handling of specific incidents. On the 22nd of May, 2008, Denise reported to police that her partner, Gary Spaulding, was outside of her home and had threatened to smash a window. The call was graded as immediate response, and police arrested him for common assault and criminal damage. Denise gave a statement to police saying he had pushed her onto a sofa and had smashed a window, but she did not wish to pursue her complaint. It was noted that Gary Spaulding was a tenant at the address and Denise had allowed him to return. Police submitted a multi-agency risk form and a police officer made an appropriate follow-up visit. The 24th of January, 2009. Denise telephoned police to report Gary Spaulding had locked her out of the house. While on the phone, she was allowed into the house by him. There was no arguing that was heard, and the call taker graded the incident as non-attendance and as a domestic incident. Denise was advised to call police again for any assistance. 18th of March, 2009. Denise telephoned the police to report Gary Spaulding had pushed her against a wall, and he had left the house, but she did not want the police to visit. Soon after, police received another call from someone else who did not want to be involved. This person reported the couple had been arguing and that Gary had hit Denise. The calls were correctly linked by police, and incident opened as domestic abuse, and a police officer visited Denise the following morning. Denise said it was a verbal argument only. Police submitted a multi-agency risk form. 3rd of May, 2009. Denise telephoned police to report Gary Spaulding had dragged her out of bed and punched her in the face. Police attended right away and arrested Gary on suspicion of assault and actual body harm. Denise provided a statement to police in which she stated there had been no previous violence and that she was not willing to attend court. Denise had a mark on her face, but she later told officers it was eczema. Police interviewed Gary and submitted evidence to CPS. The CPS decided insufficient evidence to prosecute. On the 10th of November, 2009, Denise called police to say Gary Spaulding was being aggressive towards her. Officers attended and took him to another address for the night. Incident recorded as a verbal argument and domestic abuse, and a further risk form completed. Denise did not wish to be updated by police. April 18, 2010. Denise reported that Gary Spaulding was refusing to leave the address and that he was being verbally aggressive. Call graded as urgent and police dispatched. While en route, Denise telephoned to say that he had chased her with a knife out of the house. Officers attended swiftly, and he was arrested on suspicion of affray. A knife was seized from the kitchen. He was interviewed and denied using the knife. Denise provided a statement, but stated that she did not want to attend court. Risk assessment upgraded to medium. It was decided insufficient evidence to prosecute. Follow-up visit conducted by police officer at which Denise stated that she was back with Gary Spaulding and had no further problems. So now we're coming up to days before the murder, March 11th, 2011. A Nottinghamshire medical facility telephoned police to say that Gary Spaulding had been aggressive towards the staff, and they were concerned for his welfare. Officers attended Denise's address and found her and Gary Spaulding at the house, safe and well. March 13, 2011. Denise called the police to say that her partner, Gary Spaulding, was banging on her door, and earlier he had tried to pin her down and take her phone. Call graded as immediate response, and officers attended to find them arguing. The officers talked separately to each of them. Denise stated that Gary had not been violent, but she didn't want him there. Gary had been drinking, but he was not drunk and disorderly, and there was no evidence of assault or other offenses. He was told to leave by police, and he said he was going to a friend's house. The officers volunteered to drive by Denise's address later to ensure that all was well, and advised her to contact them if needed. March 13, 2011. Later that same day, Gary Spaulding called the police, and the police were concerned that he may harm himself. Officers went quickly and talked to him in a street. The police offered him a ride to a medical facility, but he declined, stating that he would stay at a friend's house. An officer asked the CCTV team to keep an eye out for Gary Spaulding because he was in the Newark town area. And as we know, the next event ended up in murder. In a statement, her family said, quote, "Denise sadly displayed behavior typical to victims of domestic violence when emergency calls are made, including making excuses for the perpetrator and covering up their behavior, in all probability for fear of repercussion. Without evidence, many, including her family, could not have realized the extent and level of violence that Denise clearly endured." Nottinghamshire Assistant Chief Constable Paul Broadbent said, quote, "The IPCC acknowledges the strenuous efforts the force has taken over the last year to tackle domestic violence, but there is still more we must and are going to do to combat this appalling type of crime. We have fundamentally reviewed our policy and procedures to ensure that they are as robust and victim-focused as possible." So in the next episode, which will be the last one in this little series, I will talk about Clare's Law, Rosie Derbyshire, and what has or has not changed in Nottingham, England. There's a lot to discuss, so join me back here next Monday. If you or someone you know needs help, please visit the websites in the show notes. There are international numbers that you can call to get help wherever you may be. You can save your life or someone you love's life. Until next time, everyone, stay safe and please take care.